matter what hour your clock strikes, here it's always Halloween. And I'm always your haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner. Welcome to Small Frights Friday. On these very special episodes, I like to share a curated selection of calls from the All Hallows Hotline and letters from the Eek Mailbag. Lovely lanterns, how are we feeling today? The oppressive and frankly manipulative calendar is telling me that it's November? November? How dare you, calendar? Must I throw you in the trash again? And it just keeps coming back like Chucky. This cursed calendar! Oh, November. I mean, I guess that's what we're doing now. The one good thing that comes out of November is it is my birthday ween month. It is the Scorpio month. So I want to send a little extra love to all my Scorpio lanterns out there. We do have the best sign as it falls on Halloween. So that is perking up my spirits. But ooh la la, I have quite the Halloween hangover. Isaac and I and my friends went very hard this weekend. I did a little bit of everything, including finishing the episode that came out on Monday. And now, you know, I gave myself Tuesday to try to recover, but it's Wednesday and I am still like a pile of wet paper towels. Like the Halloween cocktail napkins, when you use those to sop up a mess and then the color starts blurring and then there's like some of the dye from the napkins is like getting on your counter and it's also getting on your fingertips. I'm those wet cocktail napkins right now. So if you're feeling that as well, know that I am with you and we are going to revive because while everyone else is lamenting that there are 360 whatever amount of days left till next Halloween, that's not us, lanterns. Oh no, we are celebrating just like we always do. We just need a couple of days to get our ghoulish groove back, but we are in it together. Plus, I have some very fun events coming up this November on the Patreon. So let's take a moment to give a hearty welcome to our newest members of our Patreon Ghoul Gang, because the Patreon Ghoul Gang produces each and every episode. They help pull me out of bed when I am nothing but a pile of wet cocktail napkins that read, "I'm here for the booze." So this month on Patreon, our theme is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I thought that this would be a very fun way to transition into the winter ween months, because for me, Sleepy Hollow is still very Halloween-y, very autumnal, which is a lot of what November feels like for me until, you know, we get to the end of the month. So I thought it'd be fun to read this novella together, and then we're going to discuss it at our book club on the 29th. And after book club, I'm going to play the adaptation, the Disney adaptation from 1949, which was my introduction to Sleepy Hollow. And I'm curious if it was yours as well. And I'm not a huge Disney fan, but I will say that this gets me into the spirit every year. So I held off on watching it during the month of October, and I'm excited to discuss the book, watch the cartoon, and kind of see how it feels as a legitimate adaptation. But before that, we have a Ghoul Gang movie party coming up this Sunday, November 6th, starting at 4 p.m., we are going to discuss and watch Tim Burton's adaptation, Sleepy Hollow. And Pete and Nathan will be joining me for that live scream. So I'm excited that I'll have the whole team on board so we can discuss what Sleepy Hollow means to us and how it connects to our Halloweens. The next movie party after that is on Thursday, November 17th, and that is going to be my surprise birthday movie party. So I've decided I'm going to pick a couple films, maybe three, if I'm feeling extra saucy, to stream on Thursday, November 17th for my ghouls. And I want to pick some of my favorites that we have not watched yet on the live screams. So I want it to be a surprise because I think that'd be like a fun little birthday theme. So keep your eyes on the Patreon updates and I will announce what time we're going to start once I lock in which movies I want to screen. So this Sunday, November 6th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then Thursday, November 17th, time to be decided. Book club on the 29th at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Nathan and I are going to do Kitchen Witch Live on Tuesday, November 15th at 6 p.m., and we are going to bake a Halloween birthday cake. We're going to do it from his kitchen because last month doing it in mine was just absurd, but a fun little deviation from the norm. So I'm still figuring out the recipe for that, and that'll be posted on Patreon as well, so you can nab that recipe and bake alongside us live on Instagram, which is at It's Always Halloween Podcast on Tuesday, November 15th at 6 p.m. Plus, there'll be brand new ghost stories coming out in November, but for now, on Halloween, I posted two new bonus ghost story episodes. So if you haven't checked those out yet, go listen. They're stories from beyond the veil. They gave me quite the chill while I was recording them. And they're from the Brothers Grimm, which is very cool because they collected stories. So they're both much older than the 1800s. They seem to be able to be traced back to the 1500s, which is fascinating because we've never had a story that old as a bonus episode before. So check it out. See what you think. I'd love your feedback. And let me know what other stories you'd like to hear on our bonus episodes. So on Monday's Big Frights episode, I mentioned how hard it is to lose patrons at the end of calendar Halloween because we do just keep on celebrating. And you guys, not only did you stay on, but we got 8 new patrons that signed up since I recorded the last episode. And it is honestly the best Halloween gift you could give me. So I want to send out the most sincere, heartwarming Halloween thank yous to our newest Ghoul Gang members, Samantha, Eric, Lori, Karina, Jessica, Priscilla, Cheyenne, Sarah, Emily, Holly, and Lauren. 5 of you also signed up to be annual patrons, which I mentioned on the Big Frights episode is such an additional help if you're able to do that. Of course, every little bit helps, and anything you contribute to the podcast goes right back into it, and it means you are a part of the podcast forever. Plus, it's a cozy vote of confidence for Pete and I, who work so hard to bring you the podcast every week, that you like what we're doing, you believe in it, and you're investing in it. So big thank yous to the entire Ghoul Gang. Your dedication has helped us cross over the $1,000 a month goal, which is so outstanding. And my original goals for when we hit $1,000 included creating more in-depth episodes featuring structured interview with subject experts, and It's Always Halloween website. And I have been talking to a lovely lantern who wants to help me put together a website, so we will be working on that soon. And we are already in the midst of doing interview episodes, as you've noticed, with Joe Carlo from Displaced Snail and Emma Kogan from Monstrous Femme Films. And I think we have a fun one coming up this month. We just have to schedule it still. And I want to spend some time thinking about how the interview episodes could best serve the overall theme of the show. I do want to make sure that they are in fact structured, that they don't become chat episodes, and that they are pushing out your understanding and curiosity when it comes to Halloween. So those interviews will either match the theme of the month or will match whatever chapter we are working on. And each episode would include themed eek mails as well. I hope that puts a little boo in your bonnet and excites you as much as it excites me. Our next goal on Patreon is $1,500 a month. And I have here that I will host an in-person live event in a major city of your choosing anywhere in the United States. So when we hit that 1,500, I'll do a poll on Patreon, and wherever gets the most votes will bring me and Pete to your city. How exciting! In fact, Pete and I are talking about perhaps doing a West Coast tour next year. So a couple of things to look forward to. We had such a great time at Midsummer Scream last July, and we are aching to do more live shows. So help us get there. We would love to travel and see you in person, see your Halloween traditions, hear your stories right from your mouth, looking into your eyes. That sounds so much fun to me. So if you want to help us make the podcast and you want fun bonuses like movie parties and discussions, extra ghost story episodes, our book club, or just joining our Discord for the It's Always Halloween Lantern community, then please sign up for Patreon at patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. Maybe you just want to help us get to our next goal or say thank you for the work that we've done. Sign up at any level and stay tuned for a passionate thank you like you heard today. All right, the All Hallows Hotline will not stop ringing off the hook. It doesn't matter what the calendar says. Lanterns have stories, recommendations, and frightfully lovely questions. So let's dive right in, shall we?
Hey, my name is Caitlin. I started listening to the podcast like a week or two ago. I'm just sharing about my Halloween, which took place last night. It was my first time living in a house, and I was so excited for trick-or-treaters to come. I like went crazy. I put up all these decorations. And I found myself getting a little down this holiday season because there are reports in my neighborhood of, oh, there's not a lot of trick-or-treaters. But kind of listening to the podcast and talking with my other friends who enjoy the season, if you want to say that, because my other friends also feel like Halloween is a year-round thing, I just realized by me showing my community how much I really love Halloween and how much I want to decorate my house and go crazy, it helps me to not care less about if I got trick-or-treaters, but just help me to be content with whatever happens, because I know that I have thoroughly enjoyed my quote-unquote season. So, I mean, it was awesome. When the first trick-or-treaters came, I, like, almost cried. It was so dramatic. But it was just a really great night, and thanks so much for the podcast. It's really helped me to feel a sense of community when I have been struggling with that this year. So thanks so much. Bye.
Caitlin, this story touched me so much. Congratulations on your brand new trick-or-treaters. As someone who has also not lived in a house since I was a teenager with my family, I can just imagine how fulfilling it was to have dressed up kids come to your door eager for the treats that you plied them with. I probably would have cried myself. And good job stopping yourself from giving over into a little bit of despair or worrying before it was even the 31st. How many trick-or-treaters you would have. You're right, you showered your community with joy just by decorating your house. And you did play an important part. You know, unfortunately, our brains can sometimes just focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have, and it makes what we don't have loom really large. So if we got a ton of candy and we want to see trick-or-treaters all night long, but then we only get a handful, it's hard to not feel a little sad about that. But we have to refocus and think about that handful of trick-or-treaters and how you individually touched each of their evenings. It really is analogous to the change that we can affect in the world, right? It's so easy to think about large-scale issues in the world that we want to be able to affect and change, but often an individual cannot affect a global issue. However, if we look into our neighborhoods and who we can help, the people that actually come in and out of our lives, how we can help them, then we think about the ripples of how that help touches further aspects of our community onward and onward. It's the same with Halloween. You give a kid an awesome treat bag, you are a part of making that kid have a great Halloween. Your house is extremely well decorated. Maybe your house was the best house that they saw that night. You know, think about how this podcast is made up of our stories, our history, our memories. So many of us have these houses, these treats, these costumes, these very important interactions that maybe felt small to the people who are on the other side of them, but they've stuck with us so much so that we're retelling them to each other today, and they bring us such comfort and such joy. You are a part of that for someone else in the future, a lantern in the future who might call and talk about you. So a gentle reminder to all to not focus on the number of trick-or-treaters you have, and just know that if you got trick-or-treaters at all, you made a huge difference in some kid's night. You contributed to your community, and you did well by the spirit of Halloween. Kaylin, thank you for this lovely call. I am touched to know that It's Always Halloween helped make your calendar Halloween bright, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future. Now let's see what's creeping around in the bottom of the eek mailbag. The subject line of this one is secret skeleton. Hi, Luce. I found the podcast in August and I have been catching up ever since, but I've only just decided to write in my first eek mail. Thank you so much for putting the eek in there. I really appreciate it. Okay, the author goes on to say, thank you for making such a wonderful community of the most fun people. I wanted to tell you and all the lanterns about my celebrations this calendar Halloween and all year round. I'm a goth and a lover of gothic literature, so it is definitely always Halloween for me, no matter what hour my clock strikes. So happy to hear that. I love to keep up my decorations year round. I always have bats, black cats, vintage dolls, dead roses, and candles in my room. It feels like my own mini Victorian mansion. Reading a gothic novel always helps to keep the Halloween feelings alive. I love going on cemetery walks, and I love to paint graveyards. I haven't gone on one yet, but I would also just love to go on a bat walk. I just keep missing the ones in my area. An event I haven't heard about on the podcast yet is Whitby Goth Weekend. They are held twice yearly in Whitby, Yorkshire, where some of Bram Stoker's Dracula is set. There are hundreds of people in the gothic attire and in creepy costumes, so it is perfect for those of us who like to dress up all year round. They have alternative markets and lots of concerts on the October weekend. Plus, there are performances of Dracula at the Abbey in the dark. I went to my very first goth weekend this last April, and it was a magical experience. Walking amongst the graves and streets of a town so rich in folklore and history was wonderful. I also loved being around so many like-minded people. I have started a yearly tradition of writing myself a letter each Halloween Samhain night and sealing them with pictures of what that year's costume and pumpkins are so I can look back on them as time goes on. I just think that this is a lovely idea. I also go pumpkin picking each year, although it isn't as extravagant here in England. This year, my friend group had done a secret skeleton gift exchange, Secret Santa, but Halloween-y, and it's been so, so fun. We were all thrilled to receive our secret skelly presents. My spooky read for this season was Ray Bradbury's October Game, which is much creepier than the Halloween tree, but I loved it. I found it in a book of horror short stories, and I thought I would share it with the other lanterns. It definitely errs on the scary side, but has some lovely autumnal descriptions littered throughout. I would definitely recommend it, and I will attach a link so that you can share it. Wishing everyone a very happy Halloween and blessed Samhain. Unpleasant dreams, Francesca. Ah, Francesca, it sounds like you had the most transcendent October. And I love how you describe your room and how you have all of those fantastic Gothic icons just decorating every aspect of it. You also gave us such a great recommendation. I'd never heard of Whitby Goth Weekend, and I'm totally sold on it. I must go to this event someday. And your secret skeleton trade and your letter to yourself, ah, such great ideas. I really especially like the letter because, as we've talked about, Samhain was a New Year's celebration. And I was really feeling that this week. Like I said, I felt like some wet paper towels. And I was like, gosh, I really need to just be gentle with myself this week, not engage in as much as I usually do, and reflect on what this season brought me, and what do I want to do with the next season? And I realized I really was celebrating like the ancient Celts, looking forward to the new year. So I think that that very much supports that tradition, writing yourself a letter, reflecting on what the holiday has brought you. I think all of these internal and personal celebrations are just as important and fulfilling as the ones that we give to our community. And when we do that inner personal work, it can really refuel and revive us when we're feeling like a pile of wet paper towels. I absolutely just adored this letter, Francesca. Welcome to our big porch. I'm so happy that you found us, and it's so great to hear from more lanterns in England. I know you don't quite get the level of celebrations that you wish you could have, but it really sounds like you're doing quite a bit to create a special Halloween and Samhain for you and your friends. Looking forward to hearing from you again in the future. Our next call is a fascinating one, and it's about a landmark of Halloween and horror.
Hi, Luce. My name is Karina. I am sorry if this has already been discussed on the podcast. I'm starting from the beginning just now, so I'm a little behind. I was curious about your thoughts and other listeners' thoughts. So I live near Estes Park, by the Stanley Hotel, which is really famous for being the inspiration of The Shining, and it has a lot of lore besides that. My husband and I recently went on a ghost tour there, and it kind of felt, in a way, like it was exploiting people's death in order to, like, for the hotel to get money. I love the lore and the ghost stories and things like that, but I'm just kind of curious about your thoughts and other people's thoughts. Thanks. I really love the podcast. I know I'm 2 years behind, but it's been a lot of fun, and you're making my October very spooky. Thank you.
Hi, Karina. Thank you so much for that thoughtful call, and I am, of course, defrightfully happy to hear that we helped to make your October extra spooky. I thought this call was very fascinating because it is a topic that has come up in my own personal life, and I have definitely been on ghost tours that felt a little icky to me. So I think when it comes to ghost tours, you really have to check in with your gut. I know for me, if it's a tour that focuses on the history and different myths and lore and gets into the common beliefs versus the reality, and I'm able to walk away feeling like I've learned something and my understanding of the landmark or the town has been further pushed out in a way that makes me a more thoughtful and curious person, then I feel like it was money well spent. When I'm on a ghost tour that feels kind of lurid, almost like it is focusing on the goriest details to purposefully shock or make you feel disgusted, those don't work as well for me. And I tend to feel the way that you're feeling, that the company in charge is making money off of people's deaths and isn't as interested in education as they are in the shock of it all. And that doesn't sit as well with me. That being said, I do believe that everyone's perception and tolerance of this is different. And what you really need to do is check in with yourself and do what feels the most comfortable for you. Since ancient Roman times, people have been obsessed with the specter of murder and death. So it's not something that we can just wish away or blame on our modern times or a passing true crime fascination. This is something that has intrigued people for millennia. That's not to say that you should ignore any feelings you have in your gut over a ghost tour that feels like it's in poor taste. I always encourage people to give quality feedback to an organization. Let them know that you didn't like parts of it and why you didn't like it, and perhaps you can effect some change in that way. I know when I'm looking for ghost tours, I try to get a feel from the website and the Instagram or any type of info I can get from them about how historical the ghost tour is. Of course, something like the Stanley Hotel, I'm sure, just has the one option. It's not like going to a city where there tend to be multiple different types of ghost tours. But you could always call ahead and ask what the tour is like, how gruesome it is, what types of details they focus on. You know me, I'm a little bit of a know-it-all, Elisa Simpson, who's always asking questions. So I want to send that energy on to you for future explorations. I had the pleasure of visiting the Stanley Hotel and Estes Park in 2016. A friend of mine's family owns a cabin there, and it was one of the best little vacations of my life. You live in such a gorgeous area, and one can tour the Stanley a little bit on their own. You don't necessarily have to take the tour. They tell you not to go upstairs if you're not a guest, but nobody's watching. That's right, I snuck my butt on up to that hotel room where Stephen King supposedly wrote The Shining. You know what's also interesting about the Stanley Hotel? Is it's also where they filmed Dumb and Dumber. The Aspen Hotel. So that was also very exciting for me. 10-year-old me and adult creepy me were both being very satisfied when I visited the Stanley Hotel. So in the future, Karina, you can do the punk thing, read about it ahead of time, and then take yourself on your own guided tour. Ignore the signs, walk past the signs. That's what I did. But I hope you were able to learn something and that you did get some enjoyment out of it. And I'm sorry if it left you feeling a little less than ethical. Sometimes it's just like that, and we're all just doing our best. I would love to hear from other lanterns and what their thoughts are and if they have been on ghost tours that felt icky to them and how they coped with that. I think it's a really interesting fine line. I think it is personal. And I also think that when it comes to spooky stuff, we're always going to be brushing up against some moral ambiguities and some people who want to take advantage of the darkness of this season. So it's something to always keep your eyes on and always check in with your own moral compass and try to stay as true to yourself as possible. Thank you for this thoughtful call, and I look forward to hearing other lanterns' feedback. Now, an eek mail with no subject line. Oh, it could be anything creeping around inside, ready to jump out at me. Hi, Luce. This email has been a long time coming for me. I found the It's Always Halloween podcast over summer of 2022. I was in a class where I had to write a fictional story. I decided to work on an idea I had about two women trail riding on Halloween night because horses and Halloween are two of my favorite things. I wanted to do some research on Halloween, and that's how I found you. I'm still catching up on all the old episodes, but I'm having so much fun. I love being able to have a little bit of Halloween whenever I want it or need it. Since it's been about 6 months since I first found your podcast, I have created a whole list of things I want to share with you and my fellow lanterns. I will only put a couple in this email and slowly send the rest of the stories to you over time to spread the love. I'll start with one of my favorite Halloween memories. I lived on top of a hill in my neighborhood, and at the bottom of the hill was a boy I went to school with. Every year, his mom handed out Kit Kats for Halloween. One year in particular, every time I walked past her, she put a handful of Kit Kats in my bag. As I was heading home, she poured the rest of her bowl into my bag. Ugh, I knew I always liked her. Speaking of trick-or-treat bags, I was thinking back to trick-or-treating with my neighborhood friends, and I remember that one family used pillowcases to collect their candy. I've also seen kids use the plastic pumpkins, but those always seemed too small. I can't remember what I used. I think just tote bags? Nothing special, but they were actually bags. What did you and the other lanterns use to collect your candy in? I will leave this email here, and I look forward to listening to more of It's Always Halloween. Can't wait to talk soon. Joyce. Why, thank you, Joyce. A welcome to the front porch of lanterns. We are so happy to have you here. And I used one of those plastic pumpkin pails. They hold more candy than you think. Every year, I was actually very concerned. I used to have nightmares that I would run out of room in my trick-or-treat pail, which, like, such a cute kid perspective, like the worst thing that can be happening in your life at that moment is that you don't have enough room for candy. So precious, so pure. Love you, little Luce. But I never ran out of room. It never overflowed, much to my chagrin. I guess my biggest hope in the world at the time was that it would be constantly overflowing with candy, but it usually made it about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way up. Always with plenty of room for more. So don't worry, those pumpkin pails worked for many of us. However, lanterns, if you're out there and you had buckets that were overflowing with candy, my jealous little Luce wants to hear from you about that. I did also use my McBoo pails, the original ones, a couple of times, but those were a little smaller, but they were really cute, so I had to take them with me. I'm very curious to know if any families out there picked up the new McBoo pails and if you use them for trick-or-treating. I would absolutely love to see pictures of that. I think it's really sweet that a brand new generation of little lanterns, little Halloween enthusiasts, got to have some of that joy that I had as a little kid when I got my McBoo pails. I'm absolutely obsessed with this story of of getting these Kit Kats from your neighbor's mom. What a rad lady. I want her to be a lantern. She has the spirit of Halloween flowing through her. If you can take one thing away from this call, be the woman who dumps bowls of Kit Kats into kids' bags. Absolutely love that. And I think Kit Kats are an underrated Halloween candy. They do not come up on the podcast very often, but I always really enjoyed the Kit Kats, although they lost a little bit of their excitement because it was usually only like one or two little bars, and you gotta have the 4 or 5 bars. You gotta break it. It's a big part of the experience. The little fun-sized ones, they always felt a little softer. Maybe it's because it was in my like hot little pail all night long. So they had a little bit of a different consistency. I really believe that fun-size candy has a different consistency than the regular size bars, the full-size bars. Maybe that's just like little me in my head, but I'm very curious if they make them in different ways. Do we have any candy manufacturers out there that can confirm or deny? Not very important, but just on my mind. Joyce, welcome. Thank you so much. I love how you said, I love being able to have a little bit of Halloween whenever I want it or need it. Yes, that's why we are here. I'm glad we can help you out and contribute that for you. Great email. Looking forward to hearing the rest of those stories whenever you're feeling up to it. Now, let's get one last call from the All Hallows Hotline.
Hey, Luce.
Faye. This is Sam calling in from the D.C. area, and I wanted to respond on some city suggestions for free Halloween fun. Like I mentioned, I'm a D.C. resident and moved here a couple years ago, and in the last few years, I've found some really fun low-cost activities to celebrate Halloween. So my birthday was last Tuesday, on the weekend before, I spent the day walking around Georgetown, specifically in the residential area near Dumbarton Oaks, and almost every other row house was decked out with a little Halloween theme, so I had a really great time with my partner just walking through the area and seeing each little unique space, even if some of them were just some gnarly-looking pumpkins or, different things. They had, like, a really spooky skeleton zone where there was like a whole row of different skeletons and dog skeletons, and it was just really fun. But anyway, I wanted to recommend this kind of activity to anyone in a city area or DC specifically. If you're looking for some spooky vibes, you could find a cozy residential area in your local city and just walk around and kind of do a decoration tour of your local city. Also, I've also enjoyed some really fun fall-centered plans this season. Today, I'm going to an Oktoberfest activity where they have a dog costume contest. And on Halloween itself, there's something in the city called Land of Skulls, where there's a bunch of decorated skulls on display, which sounds interesting. Another free, easy way to feel more spooky vibes in the city is to visit and walk through your local university. Many older universities have an open quad area. I actually live within walking distance to GW University, and I walk through their quad to get my groceries. The old brick buildings and the ornate gates at each entrance give me a spooky feeling that doesn't scream Halloween, but nods to the Halloween ambiance. I'm a big fan of finding these moments that you're talking about in your recent episodes and just daily life. The trees this time of year look beautiful on the campus, and I feel like I'm walking through a dark academia novel. I actually grew up in the Boston area and used to walk through the Harvard campus this time of year, so I recommend that as well if you're a Boston native. On another note, I have an idea for next year's zine. In a recent episode, you mentioned how the zines were ad-free, which is great, but it also had me thinking about how old Halloween ads in newspapers and in catalogs and the mail and commercial breaks are kind of fun and nostalgic. Maybe you could collaborate for another zine next year, and there could be some fake ads from an old-timey magazine or something to break up different sections. I partially got that idea from another Lantern who posted a zine comprised of an old-timey ad in the Discord. That's it for now, and I just wanted to thank you for everything you do and the ways you add to which people can celebrate Halloween. I know it's become part of my tradition to listen to the podcast, as it has for many other people. So thank you, and I wish you a spooky season. Bye.
Hello, Sam, my gorgeous ghoul. Thank you for being a part of the ghoul gang, and thank you for this wonderful call. I know that the 31st is technically over, but I still had to share this cozy message with everyone because you have some fantastic advice in here. I'm absolutely in love with the idea of walking through local campuses. You're brilliant. I totally know what you're talking about because when in 2018, when Isaac and I visited Salem, we also made a side day trip to Harvard, and it was the first week of November, just like right now, it's the first week of November, and all the leaves were changing and falling and crunching under our feet, and I was just consumed with the most fall feelings. I was just running around the campus singing, if you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. It was just the best experience of my life. I love Massachusetts. When am I going to move to Massachusetts? Anyways, what are we talking about? Visiting colleges. What a great idea, Sam. And I also love your idea about vintage advertisements in the zine. So Joe and I will have to discuss that because I'm very excited to announce that there is going to be The Lantern's Way Volume 2 coming in 2023. So if you did not get your submissions in for this one this year, or you're a new listener and you want to be a part of the zine in the future, there will be opportunities to do so. So keep your ear to the radio to hear more about that in the future. Sam, this was a fantastic call. It sounds like you had a really beautiful October. Thank you for sharing so much of it with us and for giving us some fantastic ideas. Lanterns, we want to hear your fantastic ideas, and I want to hear more stories about how your Halloween was, how your actual October 31st was. Did you have a ton of trick-or-treaters? Did you go to a haunted house? Did you see a ghost? Tell us. Give us a call at 802-532-DEAD. Or write us that eek mail at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast. If you love It's Always Halloween and you want to help us produce each and every episode, as well as get bonus content and spend some quality time with a community of lanterns, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. You could also leave us a one-time donation in the tip jar or order merch on Redbubble, where there's t-shirts and mugs and tote bags and notebooks and stickers and really anything you want with the It's Always Halloween logo and the No Matter What Hour Your Clock Strikes logo. Finally, the freest and most important way you can support the podcast is to leave us a 5-star review and some kind words on Apple Podcasts. That keeps us pushed up in the algorithm and pushes down the comments from bigots who don't want to hear about marginalized experiences and how they relate to Halloween. Thank you to the Patreon Ghoul Gang for producing this episode and every episode of It's Always Halloween. This episode was produced, written, and performed by me, your forever haunted host, Luce Tomlin-Brenner. The editing, sound design, and theme music is by my incredible co-producer, Pete Burns. Thanks, Pete! Extra thank yous to Caitlin, Francesca, Karina, Joyce, and Sam, your freaky fellow lanterns who contributed to today's episode. We couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of It's Always Halloween, and come back next time, unless Carole King sues you for singing too much of her song on your show.